And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520, bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one or the other of these topics. My next guest believes that branding lies at the heart of every great business. It's a strategic discipline that simplifies how people think about your organization, your products, and your services. We'll discuss how smart companies live their brand promise and inspire customer loyalty from his latest book titled Brand Real. Lawrence Vincent is the head of the brand studio at United Talent Agency. He's developed strategies for some of the world's most beloved brands, including Disney, MasterCard, Microsoft, the NFL, Sony PlayStation, Four Seasons, and Vitamin Water. Lawrence lives in Los Angeles, and when he's not writing or speaking about brands, he dabbles in photography and writes a blog and about the inspiring adventures of his daughter in her ongoing battle with cancer. Joining us from L.A., hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Hi, Bill. I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and thank you for being a subject matter expert in your book, Brand Real. So let's talk about the term branding, because today the term brand is really applied to maybe a new package design or a logo design or maybe even a new catchphrase. Your experience shows that branding is much more than that, and that branding really requires discipline. So I'm going to start with an example. Let's start by looking at Aflac. I mean, most of my listeners know the Aflac duck. So in what ways does the Aflac duck enhance or reinforce Aflac's brand?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, the Aflac duck is a great example of an iconic brand identity. You know, I think most people recognize it. They see it. It probably scores very high on likability, and that people love those commercials and they find them entertaining. Mm-hmm. But that's different than, you know, that's part of a brand, but a brand is much bigger than that. What I talk about in Brand Real is that there's two sides to the brand equation. One side of it is definitely identity that I think most of us like to talk about in cocktail conversations. But the other side is really where the value is created, and that's in brand behavior. And that's what a brand does, why it matters, and what really makes it different.
So it leads me to my next question, Larry, which is how does the Aflac duck actually sell more supplemental insurance for Aflac, or does it?
Well, I think it'd be a stretch, you know, not knowing that brand intimately. I think it's a stretch to say that the duck sells incremental services. What it probably does is that because it's iconic, it reminds people about that the brand is out there. Hopefully it instigates new customers to add Aflac to the consideration set when they're thinking about their insurance needs. And certainly, if they're evaluating, they're getting a cold call, it gives them a sense of familiarity so that people, you know, they know it's credible, it's been around, and it's a major provider that's buying advertising. But in terms of does the duck itself actually translate into, you know, why people would pay a premium for Aflac? Probably not. That's going to come back to that behavioral side, which is going to be from things that we probably don't talk about as much, like how easy it is to file a claim or how responsive people are when you make a call to customer service.
Great. And you've actually identified five indices or five matrices that we want to talk about a little bit later. But let's stick with Aflac for just a minute here. And what really makes a brand memorable? I mean, how can businesses win in this memory game with customers by connecting a brand to a specific category?
Yeah, boy, it's getting harder. We have more brands today than we've ever had before. And we have more media today to talk about those brands, so there's a lot of noise out there. And this is one of the things that I really wanted to address in Brand Real is what really works. And the first thing is being concrete. I think we like to talk, especially when we talk about brands, we like to talk about the really evocative, abstract stuff that, like, just do it for Nike, right?
Well, sure.
You think about that as the brand. It's really a tagline. But what you would find is that most people, if we were to go out and survey them, would tell you the first thing they think of or that comes to mind when they think about Nike is shoes.
Right.
Now, of course, today Nike sells a lot more than shoes. They have everything from audio equipment to apparel. But it's that idea that stuck in people's minds and allowed them to build that brand over time. So I think the first thing you always want to do when you're thinking about branding is how do I plant that very simple, concrete idea that's going to get me remembered when there's a moment of choice.
All right, that seems fair. Now, I want to ask you a follow-on question, if we can, because you said there are more brands than we've ever had, agreed. There's more media than we've ever had, agreed. Do you find that there are specific brands that are there for specific media? And by that, I mean, can you think of a brand that lives exclusively on the Internet, for example?
Well, sure, Facebook, right? you know, really the Facebook brand, its number one brand touchpoint is the way you interact with it, either through your browser or through an app on a smartphone or a tablet. So it really is an internet brand. And while we may somewhere down the road see a Facebook cafe or a Facebook store, really that's the primary domain of that particular brand.
All right, fair enough. That's good. Now, you've identified in your book, Brand Real, really five indices by which brands can be measured. And you call them sincerity, excitement, competence, sophistication, ruggedness. Let's use Facebook as the example, if we can, Larry, and talk about how Facebook matches up against these five indicators.
Sure, and actually they're separate thoughts. So in terms of measuring brand value, it's actually a different five. You know, you would be looking there at sort of awareness, familiarity, credibility, favorability, and attachment. I think the five you were giving were really some research that was done around a brand's voice.
Ah.
And voice is very important. We know that people relate to brands more when they have a sense of, you know, like it's somebody you want to do business with. Some people refer to it as character or personality. And those five character traits that you gave there are, there's a body of research that was done that I talk about in the book that shows that ultimately, if we boil it down, you can find that certain brands have a rugged voice. Other brands may have maybe a bit stronger on that sense of evocative sense. So that's a way to think about how you want to have your brand communicate, what it looks like, what it feels like.
All right. Okay, that makes sense. And I'm sorry for the confusion there in the minds of my listeners for that. But thank you for clearing that up.
Sure.
Let me play this a different way then, if we can. Let's look at some brands. And I'm just going to ask you to comment on these brands and give me some feedback as to what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. I'm going to start with Apple.
Oh, that's everybody's favorite, isn't it?
Well, at the moment,
sure. What Apple has done consistently for about the last decade, and you can even go back to 1984 when they introduced the Macintosh, is the reverence for design. So certainly when you're thinking about the Apple brand, it used to be they talked about radical ease of use. That has translated into really intuitive design, and a design that I think that the turning point for the Apple brand was creating things that you actually wanted to show the world on products that normally you might try to tuck under a counter or put in your pocket. So the ease of use is a big piece of it. They've succeeded, and the ease of use piece of it is also translated to their store environment, which is in some ways where the brand comes alive in a really refreshing and inspiring way. They've made it very simple to do business with them and also made it fun.
Mm. All right. Let me change away from products, and let's talk about another iconic brand, if you will, Playboy.
Playboy is one of those brands that I have I've been interested in actually for a long time for the right reasons.
I bet you have, yeah.
Immediately goes to. But you know, it's a brand. I would refer to Playboy brand as a dowager brand. Something I talk about in Brand Real. It was at one point one of those brands that everybody aspired to be. And I'm thinking back to the 60s and 70s when some of the most noted literary figures were writing for the magazine. You know, there's research. We went back and looked at it. There was research that showed, I think it was in the late 70s, that it was one of those few magazines that, though it had pinups in it, it was also a magazine that was likely to be read equally by husband and wife. So, you know, it was a prestige brand. And I think the key for Playboy now is that it has lost that sense of prestige, and it needs to become kind of the best of the best in its particular category. It's also a brand that could be a great tastemaker and style influencer.
All right, I'm going to piggyback on that. I like your term dowager brand, Larry. And let's talk about another, I guess you would call it a dowager brand, Kodak.
Yeah, definitely a dowager brand and almost a brand that we're in danger of losing, an extinct brand. Kodak, the turning point for Kodak is very interesting. You know, right around, there have been a lot of people who have written about the fact that they missed the boat on digital, and they shouldn't have because many people who have seen it know that they had things in their lab they could have brought to the surface. But I actually think that the part where they lost their way was in losing what people really trusted Kodak with more than anything, which was memories. And, you know, they used to talk about the Kodak moment, which was when I had the privilege of working with the brand many years ago. You'd hear consumers say that for the really important things, they wouldn't trust the cheaper film. They knew Kodak would preserve those memories. And as they took their campaign in the 90s and in 2000 away from that and getting more into sort of the innovative side that they were trying to embrace, they lost that really critical connecting point with audiences.
That they did. Well, now, brands don't always have to be associated with products or with companies. I'm going to change up a little bit here and ask you to comment on the brand in politics, Ron Paul, who's running for president. How would you rate him as a brand? I mean, here he is. He's running against what seems to be hopeless, because it looks like Mitt Romney's got the GOP nomination pretty well in hand. What is his brand? What's he trying to stand for? How, if you were advising him, what would you tell him to do about his brand?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that Ron Paul had in this election, purely from a branding perspective, anytime I'm asked to analyze, we use that brand health barometer we talked about earlier, and looking at those sort of five drivers that I talk about in Brand Real. And one of the things I think was really interesting about Ron Paul is that, you know, he had a little bit of an awareness problem in that the media, there was a lot written about the fact that he didn't show up in the media the way the other candidates did. And there were lots of theories about what was really going on there. But awareness is a critical factor. If you can't get enough people knowing and having you be recalled and recognized in a campaign, you're not going to connect with your consumer audience. The other thing that I think was a challenge for him was a credibility challenge, and not the obvious ones. You know, when we think about credibility in brand categories, we're trying to think of how much do I trust something, and how much is it an expert that I think will work in that particular field. And I think a lot of people gave Ron Paul the libertarian moniker, even though he was trying to run on the Republican ticket. And so there were a lot of voters who probably thought he's not someone who's actually going to make it all the way to the end and can go up against the sitting president. So that's a credibility challenge. It has nothing to do with his track record. It has nothing to do with him as a person. It has to do with people wondering whether or not he can compete in that category.
All right. That was a great answer. My guest is Lawrence Vincent, author of the book Brand Real, How Smart Companies Live the Brand Promise and Inspire Fierce customer Loyalty. One last one just in the political arena, Larry, before we let that go. The Occupy Wall Street movement. Now, there they've got great awareness. People are very much aware of them. What was their or is their branding issue?
The brand issue, I think it's a fascinating movement because it's connected to the time right now where we have consumers more skeptical than ever, and this is sort of a reflection of that. But I think the biggest challenge is to just look at the data. Gallup has been doing a poll and tracking them, and what they found is that there's a very small percentage of the population that actually knows what that movement is about. So for them, it's not an awareness problem, because I think a lot of people will tell you they've heard of it. But when you try to measure how familiar people are with it and actually what it's all about, a majority of Americans can't express that for you.
All right, fair enough. Now, Larry, in your book, you clearly state that ultimately every brand comes down to just one thing, and that is people. So explain why people are the key to successful branding. What do marketers need to keep in mind to ensure that their brand lives up to its promise?
And that's a great question, because that is the reason why I wrote the book. We do a lot. When we think about brands, we think about campaigns. Most of the time when we think about campaigns, it's what you put into advertising. And I close the book by saying that more brands should invest their time on making campaigns that are inwardly focused towards the people who actually operate the brand every day. Because if the people on the front lines don't understand what the brand is about, don't know how to bring it to life, it's never going to come to life in those touch points with your customers or with your investors or anybody else on the outside. So we need to invest more time being authentic and really rallying around the things that make our brand different and making sure that everyone inside our organization knows how to deliver on that promise.
And so how do you do that? I mean, what are some specifics that people can take away and put to use tomorrow when they go to the office?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things you can do. First of all, you know, when we think about research, we often think about research and consumers. Some of the best money spent on research is getting to know your employees, and that works if you are a small business or if you're a multinational corporation, is trying to understand how much people understand what the value of the brand is. And then once you can see where the gaps are, spending time training people to understand these are the most important things, these are the things we cannot fail on in our experiences with customers. Another thing that people can do that I think becomes really useful is trying to find ways to incentivize the right behavior. So a lot of times what I've found in the work that I do with brand clients is they have a very good sense of what they want to be as a brand, but when you look at what's motivating employees, it's directly in conflict with that ideal. And you're seeing this come up in the real world. Just look at what happened with Goldman Sachs a few months ago or Walmart. Those are issues of, you know, people were incentivized to do something that in some ways was in contrast to what the brand was saying it stood for.
Or J.P. Morgan today, as a matter of fact. So they're all good examples. My guest is Lawrence Vincent, author of the book Brand Real, How Smart Companies Live Their Brand Promise and Inspire Fierce Customer Loyalty. Larry, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Brand Loyal? Brand Real.
Brand Real. I think the loyalty that you actually, the Freudian slip is kind of what I would say. I think the loyalty is what we want from people. You know, it's what you want customers. Loyal customers are the ones that are the least expensive to keep over time. And I think the key to that is the authenticity. We need brands to be more truthful and to not throw that word brand around quite so loosely, that if you really want to own a brand, it's more than just coming up with a great name or a logo. It's coming up with great behavior, and that's really what makes the brands great that stand the test of time.
That is great. My guest has been Lawrence Vincent, author of the book Brand Real. Larry, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sure. The best place to go would be I keep a blog where I'm updating and posting new information as they come across, and that's at lawrencevincent.com. You can find out more information about the book there as well as and find additional content.
That's Lawrence Vincent, LaurenceVincent.com. Larry, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Thank you. And I'll be back with my next guest after these words from our sponsors.